chapter 15. If you find it, if you would stand. Singing from the heart is very different than performing. Amen. John chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Jesus Christ, as you know, here is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We've done a lot of cutting up and having fun this week, because that's what friends do. But I really do appreciate Brother Joe. He's been a good friend. And I want to ask you, Brother, if you would pray and ask the Lord to bless the preaching, please.
Heavenly Father, again, just thankful to be here. Lord, thankful, Lord God, for this church. And Lord, thank you for the pastor here. Father, I pray, God, that we come to this time of preaching, Lord, that, Lord, you would come and meet with us. Yes. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would touch your preacher now, as the things that he's studying, the things you brought to his mind, Lord, come to the culmination. Father, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would now anoint those words and those things in which he'd studied, Lord. And Father, may we be more than just hearers of the word here this morning, but may we do with what we hear, Lord God, and apply that to our lives, that we may become better and closer to Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask now in this time that you would wash the mic in the blood of Jesus Christ and anoint him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill him with the overflowing. Father, may we reap the rewards of hearing from thee this morning now. We ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, with the Lord's help this morning, I want to go through at least the portion we read, maybe just a little bit more than that. But before we start going through here, what I'd like to do is just take a second to set the stage of what I'd like to bring out of the passage. What I'd like to focus on this morning is that part about not drying up. He talks about every branch that beareth not fruit in verse number 2, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then he says in verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I got thinking about that because I've realized throughout my Christian life, it is a struggle to stay fresh. It's not easy to always be excited about serving the Lord. It's a struggle to keep that flow of the good fluid, of the good Spirit of God, of the good fruits of God, kind of going in your life where you're actually not drying up and getting depressed, not kind of pulling back in your spiritual life, not the way I think it most commonly exhibits itself, is just beginning to lose interest in what at one point was very interesting to you. Beginning to lose a little bit of that desire to get in your Bible and pray. I mean, do you remember the day when you really did look forward to grabbing your Bible for a few minutes every day and opening that thing up, and it was sort of exciting? Do you remember the times when you get with a friend who loved Jesus Christ and you loved Jesus Christ and believed the Bible and you believed the Bible, and you guys would start talking about Bible doctrine, talking about the Word of God, talking about the preaching, talking about something God had showed you, and it was really a refreshing and exciting time. You remember that? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then the message is already done for you. You need to experience that. Because it's a great thing to serve God. It's an exciting thing to really want more of the Lord, to want to grow in Jesus Christ, to want to produce that fruit, to look forward to church, to really, when the hymn book is opened and the songs are being sung, to be actually not out somewhere else, kind of like, you know, getting through the song service and mumbling through the verses, but like lately, and not so much this morning because you got a really good reason. It's been an exhausting weekend. But lately, man, it's like the roof's about to come off the church. I mean, since we opened back up, it feels like the singing has been building up. And it's a blessing. It's exciting when everybody's here and we actually want to sing. I mean, there's some, you know, you get so excited that an amen comes out a little bit and you lose yourself for a second. That's good stuff, man. I like it when church is like that. I like it when I actually, and this is probably more rare than any of us want to admit, but I like it when I get down to pray because I wanted to pray, and then I'm there praying, and I kind of just like, I don't really need to feel like I need to get up. You ever feel that? Boy, if you've never felt that, you need to feel that. And if you felt it before and you're not feeling it as much now, you're drying up. What is the difference between a raisin and a grape? You know, a raisin is a certain strand of a grape. Do you know how long it takes for that grape to become a raisin? 3 weeks. 3 weeks of dehydration, 3 weeks of taking it off of the vine, 3 weeks of that detachment. Nothing really needs to happen but just separate that grape and set it there. And in 3 weeks' time, that grape becomes a raisin. Can I say this about your Christian life? It does not take long for you to go from being full and sweet and about to pop to be all dried up and half dead. Just a little bit of time of not reading your Bible. Just a little bit of time of slipping in your prayer life. Just a church service here and a church service there because you got something else going on. Just slowly but surely, the devil wants to get you away from the Lord and away from your walk with Him and watch you dry up. And it will not take long to happen. Can I say that it's really... It's not like we got to get all superstitious about this and make it a big deal that can't be fixed. Because it can be. Oh, the devils, and I'm just, okay. Yeah, we all. It can be. Those of you that are married, you remember the first time you spotted your wife?
Yes, sir.
I do. Brother Elliot did all that stuff, so I'm not going to go there. You know what? I don't want to turn it into, he talked about his wife, so now I got to, but I do remember. I remember the first time we actually went out on a date. Because I asked her like almost after I met her. Our first date was a basketball game, right? I don't know who played. I don't know what happened. I don't even, never even looked at the game. You think I'm going to look at the sweaty dudes running around on the court when I'm sitting next to her? I don't think she really ever looked at the game much. And we were just sitting there. We talked for 8 hours straight. Man, it was exciting. That puppy love stuff, you know? You know what happens in life? 18 years of marriage, 4 kids. You know what you got to do? You got to make a decision that I'm not going to allow it to dry up. It's just reality. It happens to everybody. You remember when you went on the job interview? Of course, the job you have, you hated because that job was just, oh my goodness, it's the worst job in the world. I mean, if I can just get this job, here's why it's great and it's so much better in every way. And you're all excited about that new job, but what happens in about 6 months or a year? Folks, it's a pattern in life. It is hard to stay close. It is hard to stay grateful. It is hard to stay excited about things we should be excited about. How much more when we go into the spiritual realm and live in a world where we're so distracted by so many things that are there and purposefully there by the devil to distract you from getting close to Jesus Christ and walking with Jesus Christ and staying in fellowship and fruitful for the Lord. I want to produce fruit in my life. I want to produce fruit in my walk. I don't want to dry up as a preacher. I don't want to dry up as a Christian. I don't want to dry up as a church. And there's a solution for it. Jesus Christ gives us the solution. The solution is what? It's Him. You realize every person in this room produces fruit? Everybody here today is producing some kind of fruit, and there are various factors in your life that cause you to produce the fruit that you're producing. Now, I'm not talking about good fruit right now. I'm talking about any fruit. Your background of where you came from will cause you to be a person today that produces a certain kind of fruit. The environment you were raised in will cause you to be a certain kind of person that produces a certain kind of fruit. You can run this, I'm not being Mr. Psychologist this morning, just reality. You can run this back to your childhood. You can look at how you were raised. You can look at the environment that you were in. You can look at circumstances and things that have happened to you in life that go into making you who you are today, right? I mean, if you're a nasty person and you're an angry person and you're a bitter person and you're jaded and everywhere you go, you know, you got a chip on your shoulder and it's all about you and you're always offended about something, it is because somewhere along the line, the factors in your life, the influences around you, the things that happened to you and or the way you reacted to those things is producing that fruit in you. You know, I've been too busy the last few days to look at the news. And I genuinely noticed a difference in how I feel. I genuinely noticed a difference in the way my mind is working. I genuinely noticed a difference in I feel great this morning. I am going to prove it to you and preach for 3 hours. Amen? Yeah. It's just factors in your life. Some neutral, some not your fault, some your fault, some that had happened to you. Maybe somewhat your personality type and the general traits that you have. Some people are a little more melancholy. Some people are like always happy all the time, you know. I mean, when I was younger, I used to not be able to understand why anybody in the world would wake up grouchy. You just got a night's sleep, right? I mean, if you didn't sleep, okay, or didn't get much sleep, whatever. But, I mean, you just woke up, you got a night's sleep. Why are you mad? You just got out of bed. What is there to be mad at? Did you want to not wake up? Do you wish you were dead right now? You know, the older I get, these factors are changing. I kind of like getting out of bed in the morning and not having anybody around. Turn on a couple dim lights. Get to the coffee pot. My old man, Sarge, he's always so laid back and chill, man. He'd get up and, you want to go outside? He'd look at me. Come on, bro, let's go outside. All right, I'll get up. You know, we get up and we meander outside. I stand there and drink my coffee. And little Coco, she's a little doll. She just bounces around and she's not really obnoxious. She's too little. I sip my coffee and I come back in. My mornings were like, I was just easing into my day. I don't know where it changed. And I realized how bad it was when I got the puppy. Because she come out of bed in the morning and she is just like, ah, I'm here, woo, it's about time. And she's like jumping all over me, get up, get up, shut up, that stupid dog soda. Because I like kind of like eat. My own personality's changed. Factors in my life influence how I feel. So I'm talking about producing fruit for the Lord and not drying up. It's really hard because when I look at me, I see fruits in my life. I notice from time to time when I'm trying to draw closer to the Lord that, wait a minute, man, where did I come up with this kind of a jaded spirit? Why is it that I'm so critical? Why is it that I always walk away and I got all the answers and I can see everything wrong with everybody else? And why is it that I'm not more loving? Why is it that I'm not more forgiving? God, why is it that I lack so much grace sometimes? I really would like to be more gracious. I really, as I go on in my life, I want to see some of these fruits producing. Listen, I would love to get to a point, and you hear how I said that, right? I haven't arrived, and I don't think I have. I would love to get to a point where nothing really bothers me. Wouldn't that be great? Where you can hurt me, offend me, be a jerk to me, and I'm just like, well, I don't know, guess they're having a bad day, whatever. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the fruits of righteousness, filled with a clean spirit, able to be gracious, able to be merciful, able to be kind, able to even go so far as to learn how, with the help of God, to love my enemies like Jesus Christ loved his enemies. Man, that is a tall order. I ain't so sure how that's going to happen if I just look at me and my nature. There's no way. I don't want to dry up. And I've noticed that all these things in life, problems in life, things that are coming to pass in this day and age, it's getting worse than ever, are factors put in place to keep you from producing fruit for Jesus Christ. I don't want to dry up. Now, this text can be looked at a couple of different ways. Some would look at this and say, see, if you don't produce fruit, the Lord's going to cut you off and throw you into hell. And so I remind you that Jesus Christ, when he came, was preaching unto his own. He was preaching to the Jew. This was pre-cross. So when somebody comes to you and says, see, here's a proof text that if you don't produce fruit, you're going to lose your salvation, you can look them straight in the eye and say, you don't understand rightly dividing the word of truth. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ was preaching to the Jews before there ever was a church. But I look at this passage and lining it up properly, doctrinally, you take it and you line it up with the Apostle Paul, who is the prophet of the Gentiles, the preacher of the Gentiles, the teacher of the Gentiles. God gave him the doctrine that we apply to ourselves today. And when you line this up with Paul, it's very interesting because we're told that we're going to appear before a judgment seat of Jesus Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or evil. And what's going to last through that trial if you're saved, through that judgment if you're saved, is what's gold, silver, and precious stones, and the wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned up. So let me ask you a question. What in you, spiritually speaking, is dead? If you're born again, you understand what I'm saying. We're going to get to this in just a second. If you're born again, you're not going to die spiritually like in the lake of fire, like eternally. Your soul is saved. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
The moment you are born again, you never have to worry about hell again. If you've never been born again, you have got to get born again, because the best thing that you can do is have a cheap imitation of the real thing. And the world is always presenting cheap imitations of the real thing. They're always talking about love, love, love all the time. But this world does not understand love. In your human nature, you don't truly understand godly, pure love. In your human nature, you understand your selfish love. You love other people for what they do for you. I've even seen this in parents towards children. There can be an unnatural affection there, even though it's extremely natural, to where I love my kids because it almost becomes an unhealthy thing where they come before the Lord. How do you really love? Do you understand what true love is? You can't understand true love if you've never met the love of God. And you've never met the love of God if you've never been born again. You have to get saved in order to produce the right kinds of fruits. Without being saved, you won't produce them. To those of you who are saved, how much deadness you got going on in you? Don't we all have a little? Aren't there some things, some fruits in our life, some struggles that we have that we ought not be having? Ever get tired? I mean, tired of fighting it? Ever get frustrated with yourself? Ever feel like, man, I'm never going to get the victory over this? I really need to change this, and I don't feel like I'm ever going to get the victory over this. This thing's dead, and it's got to go. And then find out that 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, it's still there. It's still hanging on. What is the solution? He gives it to us. You'll notice, first of all, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husband. I don't care if it's popular nowadays or not. I'm so tired of pandering to people's little selfish, hypersensitive foolishness. And the more everybody pampers to the liberal agenda and the liberal mindset, the more we're not allowed to say what we're supposed to say. Let me tell you something. There's only one way to heaven. And the one way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not Allah, not Roman Catholicism, not Buddha. There is no other way to heaven but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved and you don't understand what this book says about Jesus Christ, then you're not going to heaven, period, the end. I don't give a flip what kind of religious experience you had. That's not anywhere in the Word of God. He said, I am the true vine. What does that tell you? There are plenty of false vines out there that you can wind up grafted into. The devil will give you a false vine for every day of the week, so long as you feel like you're going to be okay and you feel like maybe you'll make it. He's satisfied with you getting tuned into any vine but Jesus Christ. There's exclusivity to Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Period. I didn't make the rules, and I'm not saying it because I think my religion is right. I'm telling you, God said, through His Son, or nothing at all. There's a true vine. And it's an exclusive vine. And what it tells you that all other vines will rub off on you, but they're not the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What happens? That's a good one, brother. I heard you. He said you get poison ivy. God the Father is the husbandman. So once you get into Jesus, into the true vine, there's somebody who cares about you that comes walking through His vineyard. It's God the Father. And He's looking at His vineyard and He's going, let's see what I got. And do you know every one of you are a branch on that same vine? You know what I am? I'm a branch on that vine. You know there's absolutely, it's going to be heartbreaking. Hang on, brace yourself. There's absolutely nothing special about you.
Yes, sir.
As compared to the other branch.
Yes, sir.
You're all special to Jesus. It's okay, I know that. But as compared to the next guy, there's nothing special about me. I'm the branch that the Lord Jesus Christ saved, that God the Father sent His Son to die for. That's a mouthful. Do we get that immune to it? That God the Father loved me so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for me.
Amen.
And when I asked Him to save me, He graft me into that vine. He put me right into His body. He made me a part of who He is. And now I have something inside of me called the Spirit of God and an ability because of His Spirit to begin changing what I am.
Amen.
The dead stuff. The dead stuff can now start falling off. And then to make it even crazier, the Father walks through His vineyard. And He's looking at every single one of His branches. And you know what He's looking for? Fruit. I've told you before, my mom and dad got a little branch off of one of my grandparents' vines, grapevines. And they went and they planted it at our house when we first moved out here to Green Oak. And man, that thing, after it took a few years, but after a while, that thing took off. It was so huge. Grapes were absolutely everywhere, and we'd go out there, we'd start watching when they'd first start coming in the spring, and we're looking for them grapes. Man, we get so excited. We'd go out there and we would get them eat them grapes until really bad things happened to our digestive tract. I'll just say it like that. My parents would always say, you're gonna get sick, and I'd be like, yeah man, it don't matter. Even eating the seeds, because it took too long to like suck the seeds out, spin it. You can't eat that much like that, so you just start getting the fiber in with it. Amen. Something about going out to that vineyard and watching it and seeing a little bud come. Here's your new little Christian. And watching it go from green to full, changing color, getting ripe. And you know what happens as time goes on? They're supposed to get sweeter. And the husbandman walks through his vineyard and he's checking on his branch. You know the problem with too many branches is? We're not looking for the husbandman and checking to see if he's going to be pleased when he shows up for his own branch. We're looking at the other branches And we're saying, well, I wish I was so-and-so, and I wish I could do what they do, and I wish I looked like them, and I wish I acted, and I wish this, and I wish that. And when it's not even about the other branches, none of us really matter that much. It's about who grafted us in and who's coming to say, look, I let you come into this thing, and now I would like to really see some fruit from you. But instead, because we still have our Adamic nature, our old nature, we got so many dead things hanging on. We got so many things attached to us that we really, they're just draining the rest of the vine. They're just draining the other branches. They're not really getting us anywhere. You know, this world is always going to try to tell you there's something better. It ain't better. Unfortunately, I spotted somebody this week. I didn't talk to him, who used to be in church. And I'm going to be gentle here. I'm not going to be mean because I don't feel that way. I left sick. Man used to be street preaching, used to go on mission trips with us. I passed him in a store. Saw the individual he was with. He got his dream, but when I saw what it looked like, my heart broke. He would never know that branch was born again. You'd never know. For years he sat in a Bible-believing church, listened to preaching, led people to Christ, went on missions trips, stand on the street corner and preach. And I looked at that nappy old thing he was with. It ain't like Hollywood shows you it is. That's a farce. And you know what I thought? I cannot believe he left Jesus Christ for that. How sad. I don't say it arrogantly. That's why I didn't say his name. Pray for them. But I hope that nobody in this room is heading that direction, drying up on the vine. Yep. Oh, preacher, I'd never. You're a fool. Mm-hmm. You're a fool. Preacher, I'd never go that far. You're a fool. Yep. Yes, you would. Mm-hmm. You look at this, you look at me standing up here this morning. I'm a preacher. Yeah, I got a Bible. Yeah, I'm pretty tuned into and dedicated to what I do. But that doesn't mean that if I don't stay in tune with the vine, I won't be somewhere I don't even want to think about this morning in a couple of years. Because there is only one way to get saved, and there is only one way to produce fruit and stay fresh and don't get dry and keep that fruit coming and keep that flow going, and it's by the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's exclusivity to that vine. Now, you all would say amen to the fact that he's the only way to get saved. Amen?
Yes,
sir. He's the only way to live the Christian life, too.
Yes, sir.
I don't get the concept of how it is we get born again by Jesus Christ only. And then once we have him, we now are going to spend all of our time preaching on everything else under the sun. Preaching on all the dead branches. Preaching on all the sin. Preaching on all the to-dos. You got to tithe. You got to come to church. You got to do this. You got to dress a certain way. Don't use certain language. Don't go certain places. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't this. Don't that. Hey, that's why you're drying up. Because you forgot about the source of the whole thing. If we kept it about Jesus Christ, we wouldn't want anything that caused that relationship and fellowship to start getting dry.
Amen.
I don't have to legislate your standards. If you love Jesus Christ. When you love Jesus Christ, boy, something in you will say, that stinking thing that I just watched on TV that everybody else said was so great, I feel dirty.
For some reason, watching demons run around and eat people's brains and suck the blood out of their body and use the Lord's name in vain and all the rest of it, I used to like that stuff, but man, something's different in me. I had a great prayer time this morning. I enjoyed my Bible reading. Services were great this weekend, and now I feel a big difference. I don't want that fellowship gone. I want to abide in the vine because that makes me feel dry. You'll get it. You'll figure out what God does and doesn't want you to do. Yes, remember the preacher's illustration last night about smoking? The little mental picture he drew hanging over the equipment he's working on while the ashes would build up and he wasn't even smoking it and then falling. Remember that? That was a great example. A great example of how somebody truly the right way grows in the Lord and produces fruit that Jesus Christ himself is producing, and not the pressure from the brethren to fit the mold because this is what we're supposed to do, but the fruit of somebody learning to walk with the Jesus Christ and abide in the vine and stay fresh. You remember him getting tears in his eyes when the Holy Spirit was asking him, do you like winning souls? You like talking about me? Yeah, Lord, I love talking about you. You like passing out those tracts? Yeah, I like passing out those tracts. You enjoy? Well, then what about the cigarette? Don't miss the point. The point was not the cigarette. Did you get that? The point was the vine. The point was the Savior. The point was the husbandman was walking through his vineyard and he walked up to a branch named now Pastor Mike Elliott, at the time Mike Elliott. And when the husbandman walked up to that branch and he was looking at the fruit, he said, hey, this is a lively branch. There's life here. Because there's exclusivity in Jesus Christ. He got the right place, so he's good. But there's also expulsion in Jesus Christ. When I say expulsion, I mean when you're in the right vine and the husbandman comes through, he's going to walk up to you and he's going to begin addressing things about you that he says, there's all this good stuff, but there's something over here that's kind of got to go. You know what's really discouraging? Is when you're doing right and you're trying to do right. And you're working at it. I think there's a few people in here that are trying to do right. Amen? And then you get in trouble. But you look around at people that aren't even trying to do right, and they never get in trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. It's like, why is it always me? I mean, I'm walking into the hotel this week, and there's an alarm going on out there, and she's like, what'd you guys do? I'm like, nothing, but I always get blamed for everything anyhow, so whatever, man. All kidding aside, sometimes the reason you're in trouble is because the Lord loves you and he knows you're trying. Well, why do I got to take the... You know what I don't like doing? You ever have your parent tell you need to be the bigger man or the bigger lady?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever get tired of being the bigger person?
Yes, sir.
It's like, you don't know what they did to me. And I don't have to take this. And guess what? You're right, you don't. But the Holy Spirit's calling on you to be the bigger person again. You know what he's doing? Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Lord, that hurt. That is not fair. That is not right. You know what I've watched in church over my whole life, but specifically here? I've watched our attendance surge. We're all excited and it's going great. And then somebody gets their nose out of joint. Somebody gets all silly. And I've stopped trying to predict it. I've stopped even trying to figure out what happened. Because the bizarrest things, I mean, I'll look and go, oh, I know why. Oh, man, I really messed up. And then I'll be like, you know, what other, did I? And it's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about, preacher. I thought for sure I had it labeled and I'm totally off.
Oh, I'm not going to church because if we have to wear a mask into the building, I'm not going to church. Really? People will make it through hell and high water, stay faithful, and have something so small and strange knock them out of church. The devil will use anything. Listen, I did the math on it this morning after he made mention, yes, this week about the numbers. 0.007% is the death rate. If you had a 0% chance of dying, how does that sound? Pretty good? The percent of the death rate from the virus is 0.007. No, 000, three zeros and a seven. Now, let's not get this wrong. Some people absolutely need to be safe and wear a mask because this particular virus is killing people, okay? Especially people with underlying conditions and elderly. I have all the respect in the world for that, okay? So I'm not saying get stupid. I'm saying let's not let the devil use a virus to cause us to stop bearing fruit, to start drying up. Because the world is going to continue to push fear in your face, fear in your face, fear in your face, get you panicked. And when this dies out, they will come up with something else. The reason they put the goriest things on your newsfeed is because it gets you to click. It will cause deadness. It will cause the joy, the rejoicing, the peace, the calmness, the stability that you're supposed to have in Jesus Christ to get muddied up and dirtied. It's the world you live in. He's coming through and he's looking at his vineyard and he's saying, he's producing fruit, she's producing fruit. I want more fruit out of them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the dead piece in you, the piece that's not producing fruit, and I'm going to snip that off. But that's a live branch. It's one thing when it's dead. They don't feel it. You know, there are some Christians that when God comes in and goes, this branch is dead, let's not let it cumber the vine, snaps that thing off and throws it in the fire for a saved person. That's your judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You got nothing when you get to the other side but your soul. You know, some saved people don't even feel it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Your relationship with Jesus Christ is completely gone. Your joy is completely gone. All you are is dark all the time. All you are is cranky all the time. All you are is bitter all the time. All you can think about is everything that's ever happened to you and who did what wrong. And some people will pull up something from 20 years ago and, you remember when you said? I have sat with family members. I'll just be real with you because we all got messed up families. Amen? All right. I've sat with family members that were like, well, you know, back when you were this old. And I'm like, dude, I am 40 years old at the time. And you are talking about when I was 15.
Yes, sir.
And I have no earthly clue what the heck you're talking about. I just said, you're probably right. I probably did. I was an idiot. But I was a kid. I'm nothing personal, 15 years old. I was very, very young. Can't you give me a break? You ever met people like that?
Yes, sir.
You ever notice sometimes that you're that people? Yep. You know what the Lord does with dead ones? He snaps them off and throws them to the side. But the reason you get hurt is because the Lord said, now, if I take a little snip here, I know that when I take this one little piece out, 10 good things are coming in its place. That's part of abiding in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Most Christians can't make it through that stuff because I was trying, I'm doing good, and oh, that hurt. Oh, that pushed it just a little bit too much. Oh, that stepped over the line. Lord, I've been doing good. Lord, I've been trying. Why'd you let that happen? Why'd you do that to me? That hurt. I did not want to face that fact about myself. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to let that go. Lord, I'm good with the fruit I'm producing. I'm happy. Hey, listen, it's not up to you. It's up to Him to produce all the fruit He wants to in you. So when He cuts you back, take it and stay in the vine. Why? Because with time, you see the church cut back. People will say, preacher, what's going on?
I'm like, what? Somebody said to me recently, we're just glad you don't ever get discouraged because you don't realize how many of us are really discouraged. And I did what Joe just did. He just closed his eyes and breathed deep. I said, well, I appreciate the compliment. I'm glad you think I'm a complete rock somewhere besides my brain. But that is absolutely the farthest thing from the truth. You just think I'm going to walk in here and mope around dragging my knuckle? We love our pastor, but everybody pray for him because he's about to crack. You know, that doesn't work, man. We all get a little discouraged. And you know what happens when you get discouraged? You get kind of lazy. Have you ever noticed that? You get discouraged enough, I don't care how much you're into lifting weights, you know, Joe can pick up 4 times my body weight or whatever. Doesn't mean he can whoop me, it just means he can pick up more than me. You know, it's really hard to go in there and crush a hard workout when you're really bummed out, isn't it? If you're going to lay out anytime, ain't that the time you lay out? You get lazy when you get discouraged. You start getting kind of stuck in the mud a little bit. You start saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay home tonight. You ever pick up your Bible to read it when you're trying? You're producing fruit. That's why you would pick it up. You understand that, right? If you actually read your Bible, you are producing fruit. That's a fruit for the Lord. You ever pick it up to read it and then kind of like not hardly be able to, you guys, that's part of the Christian life. This is reality. The Lord allows these things. I think the Lord purposefully allows some of these things because without it, you can't produce much fruit. I think the real test and the real strength and the real character of a Christian and of a church is when you've been producing fruit because you're in the right vine and you find out that the husbandman walks through his vine and there's expulsion, there's places he's going to come and kick out. He's going to say, you got to quit that. You got to get that out. You got to stop that mindset. You got to stop that attitude. You got to stop thinking that way. You got to stop going there. You got to stop doing that. You got to, oh man, Lord, really? You got to let that go. Oh Lord, really? I have never, ever seen myself or any other Christian that I know of start producing more fruit when God showed them something has to go and they hung on to it. You got to be willing to let it go. Why is God coming through and cutting you back? He's cutting you back that you might produce more fruit. All the dead things, they got to go. All the difficult things, the things you don't want to get into, the things you don't want to have happen, it's got to go. Well, if I can just, okay, when you get there, you're going to find out the husbandman is there going, okay, now I want it back. Now I'm going to cut it back. You want to produce fruit, you want to stay fresh, then you got to recognize that even when it hurts and when he cuts you back, it's for your good and for his glory, and more fruit's going to come out of it. So you know what? I don't care what everybody else says or thinks. Amen. I don't care. God help me, I don't care. And I'm not trying to say it. I'm trying to get to a point where I don't say it combatively because I still might be just a little combative about it. I'm trying to get to a point where I don't care the right way.
Sir.
I've had people, not any time recently, but throughout the history of the church, I've had people come up to me, I heard your church is struggling. Like, where the heck did you hear that, man? Glad you told me because I'm the pastor. I need to know these things. You know what? I don't care. What's everybody going to say? I don't care. Why? Because I'm staying in the vine. And I'm not mine. I'm his. I'm not here for my glory. I'm here for his glory. So whatever he does with me, he does. And I'll trust him that when he cuts me back, he cuts me back to get more glory. So if it glorifies him more to cut me back, go on and cut, man. I didn't put myself in this vine, and I don't even know, like I started in the introduction, I don't even know how to produce the right fruit. Come on, man. You think you know how to pick a spouse? A good one? You're still married because of Jesus Christ. Go look in the mirror, man. You think you know how to raise kids? I can't stand people that think they know how to raise kids. I can't stand them. It just drives me absolutely up a stinking wall. You know what you need to do is? Don't blow your nose in a rubber hose, man. You're driving me crazy. You don't got that figured out.
You think you know how to control your mind? Come on, man. You don't got that figured out. You think you know how to control your emotions? Somebody hurt you in church? You think you know how to, you don't got that figured out. He said it would have been our anniversary this week, and then he said, I don't know what to do with that. You got to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know either, brother. But guess what? There's one who does. You stay tuned into that vine. You stay close to Jesus Christ. You keep that relationship flowing. You keep that thing fresh. And just do that one day at a time. And you'll be shocked at the fruit the Lord will produce in your life. You'll be shocked at how that thing turns out in 10, 15, 20 years. You'll be shocked at what God can do with you. You'll be shocked at the victory you can get that you don't think you can get.
Yes, sir.
And the trick of the trade, the trick of the devil, is to keep you focused on all the dead stuff. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew. I tell our kids all the time, I won't tell yours this, but I tell our kids all the time, don't worry about smoking killing you. You want to smoke, smoke. It's not going to kill you, because we're going to. Amen. But smoking ain't making you, not smoking doesn't make you spiritual.
Amen.
And like our preacher said, just because you are smoking doesn't mean the Lord ain't speaking to you and helping you. How do I get the victory? Stay in the vine. You know, the devil comes along and says, well, you're a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't walking with Jesus. And the preacher last night said something most independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing, Baptist, pulpit down, thumping, preachers won't say. You know what he said? God walks with and loves people and uses people even when they got some things going on that ain't right.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that a blessing?
Anyway.
Yes, sir. Why? Because that branch is a productive branch. That branch is trying to produce fruit. So what I'm going to do, since they're trying to produce fruit and their productiveness, is I'm going to cut them back so that they can grow. But there's effectiveness to this vine. There's expulsion. There's exclusivity. Expulsion. But there's effectiveness. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I'm going to change. I just woke 40 people up. I did it on purpose. No, you're not. No, you're not. My dad did this, that, and the other. I'm never going to be like my dad. More than likely you will.
Yep.
My mom, I'd never do. More than likely you will. You know why? You're a product of your environment. You're shaped by your environment. You're shaped by your personality. You're shaped by the things that have happened to you. I joke about my puppy, but she's actually been probably one of the best puppies. She's doing real good. You know why? You got me and two older dogs there, always telling her that she's constantly stepping over the line. I got feeling bad the other day because I said, man, that dog, the only word that dog really has to know is no, drop it, stop, sit, no, drop it. That's all negative. She greets the old man in the morning. She's jumping around. She's licking his face and jumping all over him. And he goes, his teeth like that. She keeps these, and then he'll go, bow! He'll nail and she'll back up. Her ears go back. She hunkers down. You know what'll happen if she stays in that environment? Before long, she'll know exactly how I want to be greeted in the morning and exactly how to act. The fruit will come because of the environment if she stays in the right environment. Do you get the point? If you stay in the right environment, the fruit will come eventually, but the devil's trick is to get you looking at the other branch and go, wow, look at all the fruit they're producing, and look where I'm at, and I'm this age, and I should be here, but they're younger than me, and they're producing more, and oh my goodness, and so all of a sudden you start getting discouraged, and you start drying up because you're detaching yourself in your mind and in your heart from the vine. And now all of a sudden you're drying up because you're looking around at everything and everybody else, and you are not going to make it.
if you dry up. There is effectiveness to being in Jesus Christ. He said the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. You know what he's doing? He's putting you in your place. He's saying you need to know who's who. Well, our pastor, great. I hope you love your pastor. Since for most of you, I'm your pastor. But it ain't the pastor. It ain't the pastor. He's just a branch. It's the vine. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire and they're burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Lord, I want to produce fruit, man. I really do. I have got a list of things that I have recognized about myself that I don't like. Any other self-loathers in the room? You ever see things in you that go, that needs to change, that needs to change, that needs to change? I got some particular things I'm asking God to help me with. You know what one of them is? I'll tell you what one of them is. One of them is I'm hung up on this thing. It's been coming out in my preaching a little bit. I'm hung up on a God who loved his enemies so much that while they took his name in vain, lived like hell, enjoyed all the dead things so much, they fed their flesh with dead stuff. Filth. Puke, garbage, sin. And while they fed themselves with sin, he loved them so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for his enemy. You know what I'm working on? I'm working on not just wanting to kill my enemies. Every once in a while, you want to kill your friends. Sorry. You know, we've been in our house just a couple of months. Just thinking about this on the way here today. This isn't in my notes. This is free. You know exactly where I'm going to, don't you? You're getting read already. I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're in our house just a couple of months. We had Brother Peacock here. And we had Brother Biano here. And you guys were playing. The whole crew was playing, right? And Evans were playing. Everybody's at our house. We had this house. We can entertain people. We got a room. This is great. And we're cooking the burgers on the grill. I think what happened is the propane ran out on the grill or something, so we switched the burgers from the grill to the stove in the kitchen. I think that's what it was. And Joel saw me struggling to keep up. He's like, I can cook burgers. Oh, I'm good. I was like, okay, great. Come on, help me out. So we get in my nice new kitchen. A couple months I'm in my new house, and we're cooking burgers on the stove, and there's a lot of grease is going. And before you know it, Joel's like, whoa, whoa! And I look over, and there's flames coming up off my stove. They were like that. And Joel's dying laughing. Whoa! I almost burned your new house down! I wanted to kill him. I'm thinking my dogs can eat for a whole year off the burger meat in my fridge. That's Joel. I didn't really want to kill him. That's funny. But, you know, you ever have somebody you really, you know, don't you struggle even being kind and loving? I don't have time to get to it this morning because I'm wrapping up. But don't you struggle with being kind and loving even to your friends? Yes, sir. Ain't there times where it's tough? Can you imagine a God who's kind and loving to his enemies? I just want to get to where I don't want to hurt some people. I just want to get to where when somebody does me wrong, I can let it go. Amen. I just want to get to where God blesses somebody that did me wrong and it doesn't bother me. Amen. Yep. I want to produce some fruit. And I can tell you right now, it's never going to happen if I get dry, if I separate from that vine, if I don't stay close to him, because I cannot bear fruit without my Savior. I can't do it. I fancy myself with being stubborn. I fancy myself with dying before I'll quit, all that kind of thing. But I know one thing about the ministry. This is the biggest struggle, the toughest fight, the most intense pressure, the most insane match. This thing goes places you never thought things could go. And the pressure's more than you ever imagined was even real. And it's weird. It's supernatural. And it's wonderful. And it's scary. And I know this. There is no way that I can pastor you and make it happy and full and fresh and fluid and clean and loving and faithful if I don't have my Savior, Jesus Christ, really, really close. I know it for a fact. And I know you're not going to make it if you don't abide in Jesus Christ. You're going to get dry. My conclusion is this morning. Have you felt yourself getting dry lately? See, sliming his way through that vine where he's not attached and doesn't belong is your adversary. And he's been doing some crazy things in the world that you live in, and he's been working real slow and real subtle to start pushing you away from that vine, get a little crack in there, let a little dryness come in there, slow down the flow just a little bit. And I think all of us will recognize there's just a little bit of dryness that's starting to build up. And this morning, I want you to reattach. Because if you'll reattach, that fruit will start to flow. And before I know it, I'm going to blink and I'm going to have grandchildren. I'd love to have grandchildren running around this building. Still be here and be happy. And I'd love for some of you to have grandchildren run around this building. A bunch of us turned 30s together, and then now we're going into our 40s together, and some of you that were in your 30s are running at your 50s pretty quick, and it's flying, ain't it? Let's keep that fruit coming. Without him, we can do nothing. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes,